most gracious God and eternal Father, we come one more time as we stand behind this, your sacred desk, God. We come asking you to have your way with me on today. God, I stand and I ask you to hide me behind your cross, that your people will see you and not me. I stand as an empty cup before a full fountain, God, and I need you to fill me up with your words, that your people may be edified, but you get all the glory, you get all the honor, and you get all the praise. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Oh, I'll say we pray, amen. Thank God. Book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse number 1. I exhort thee therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, and intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Yes, sir. For kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Grass withers, flower fades away, but the word of God shall stand forevermore. We're going to walk through the scripture today. Keep your book open. I want to make sure you get this. We're going to talk from the thought, the spiritual work of the church. Spiritual work of the church. Of course, we've already said that our vision is Bright Morning Star Baptist Church will be the church where Jesus is lifted and souls are saved. If that's the case, then we must have or do the spiritual work which God has called us to do on a daily basis. When you look at the world today, for most part, churches are busy places. They are busy places. There is much work that we are about most of the time. Much of the work that we are about is visible work. We're building buildings all over the place. We're placing signs in front of our roads and letting folk know that we are in existence. We're holding evangelistic meetings. We have 2 to 3 services two or three times a week. Yeah. There is much we do that is visible and physical in nature. But these verses have to deal with the part of the work that is spiritual in nature. We have gotten good at doing what is physical.
Yes, sir.
But I feel that we have never learned how to do what is spiritual.
All right.
The events that occurred this week with the bombing in the airport. Mother killing her daughter. All of those things, and most of all, Trump running for president, are to serve as a challenge for the church today and for all saved people to seek the face of the God for this country. Again, for our leaders, we need to seek God. Those terrible acts of terrorism are a call for the church to return to the spiritual work that God has called us to do.
Yes,
I don't care how many signs you put up. I don't care how many for the children on a daily basis, if you don't give them Jesus, you have not done a thing for God's work. And the thing about it is this. If you got a sign by the road, but you're going out of business, you need to quit anyway. Yeah. They ain't gonna like it, but it is what it is. Yeah. I give it the way God give it to me. Yeah. Let's see what the scripture says about these things, these instructions that he has given the church for spiritual work. Well, first of all, in verse 1 and 2, he talks about there are spiritual requirements. Notice he starts off with the command. He says, Paul uses the word exalt. Yes, the word converts to an idea of engagement and a tense in which we used to know as what we should follow. It is not something that Paul is suggesting. But in fact, he's saying, this is a command. Of course, the command is for God's people to be engaged in the work of prayer.
Yes, sir.
We don't have prayer service no more. We don't even come to prayer service. Right, morning, South Baptist Church. We are going to be a praying people from this day on.
Amen.
Yet God has promised to hear and answer our prayers, and we're trying to figure stuff out on our own. When God says, all you got to do is call me.
Yeah.
Well, you find that at Rev. Jeremiah 33 and 3. He says, call on me. Watch this. And I will answer thee. But we don't call so he can answer.
Yeah.
He says, watch this. And not only will I do that, he said, but I'm going to show you great and mighty things what you don't even know. But we can't have time to sit down and pray and ask God what he wants us to do. He has promised to move by his power in response to the prayer of the faithful when spoken by his people.
Yes,
sir. Paul tells the Ephesians in chapter 3 and verse 20, he says, after he has done his prayer unto God and asked for some things, he says, now unto him.
Yes.
Who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. If you ain't got no power in you, how do you expect God to work?
What you say?
Matthew 18 and 19, he says, and again I say unto you, that if two of you should agree. See, we're always talking about two come together, then the Lord said he was going to be in the midst. But you can have two people who all agree with one another, and then God ain't coming in. God said if two of you shall agree on earth touching on anything that ye shall ask, he said, I'll do it for you. So then that my Father, which is in heaven, we got to start talking to God and asking God to do some things here on earth for us.
Amen.
How can we not avail ourselves to the most powerful resource that we have in the world? How can we fail to call on the one who has promised to answer in power and in glory when we call him by faith?
Yeah.
The command here is clear. The command is the church needs to pray.
Yeah.
Y'all know, y'all wonder why them old folk have such powerful worship services and why they have such power for it can move mountains out of the way and they had a dime in their pocket. That's because they had the power of prayer. They would come here and stay sometime all day talking to the Lord.
Yes,
go to work in the field in a hot sun all day. Then leave there and come to the sanctuary and start praying for God. And then pray half of the night and then get up up and go back to work. But you're going to work in an activist building. You ain't got to walk. You ride in your car. But yet you don't have time to come to the house of the Lord and pray. It's a command. Watch. Then he says, there's a challenge here. If you keep going, he says, Paul tells us to pray first of all. That is, prayer, what ought to be the top priority of the church. Prayer ought to be the top priority of the church. Watch this. Listen well. It is not just something that is filtered into the worship service. It's not thrown in between songs somewhere. And sometimes you got to take a few minutes out of your time. And you know how we do? Well, I guess I'll pray. Well, no. You ought to pray. Because God calls for us to pray. Prayer is the life breath of the church. I like the way Billy Graham puts it. Billy Graham says, the three secrets to a successful ministry is prayer, prayer, and more prayer. If we want to be successful, we got to get on our knees. And we got to start asking God. If we will be all that God wants us to be, then we will be a people who places a great emphasis on prayer. We must determine here at the Bright Morning Star Baptist Church that we will be a praying people first of all. And watch this. Scripture says, prayer doesn't mean anything if you won't be heard for all the words that you got to say. Because you can say a whole lot of words and don't say anything. Prayer means you got to get to yourself, by yourself, in the middle of a whole bunch of people and start talking with God. It's a conversation, y'all. It's not you just talking to God and then you get up off your knees and go on with your business. No, it's you talking to God and let God talk back to you so you'll know where God wants you to go. First of all, I like the word first of all, because first of all, he said, before you even think about it, when it's put into your mind, the first thing you ought to do is pray about it. Watch, he goes on. Goes on in the text. Paul gives a call. And as Paul continues his call to prayer, he uses four words to describe the scope of your prayer. These four words refer to the total of prayer, reach, and prayer's potential. Look, keep going. What he says? That there be all what? Supplication. This refers to prayer that focuses on special needs. Many of us got some special needs today. The idea is that's a bringing a deep and intense burden before the Lord. When we have a need in our lives and we see our needs in the lives of other folk, then we ought to be moved to the needs of these people and go before the throne of God's grace boldly. I like the way Hebrews 4 and 16 puts it. Talking to the church now. Let us, therefore, come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. Where can I go but to the Lord? Y'all want some help? You deal. dealing with something that you can't handle yourself, he said, come bowl into the throne of grace and I'll help you through it. He said, there must be some supplication. But then he turns around and he goes on and he said, there's got to be praise. This word calls to mind those things that we set aside to come to the Lord's presence and worship him. Y'all got that? The things that we set aside and come before the presence of God and worship him. And just spend some quality time with the Lord. Get down at the Lord's feet and just let him have his way in your life. Every believer must have time when we go before the Lord. God don't want no quickies. Well, you come in and go out because you ain't got time. You're running along the way. God says you ought to be able to take just a little bit of time, set it aside for me and talk with me and let me talk to you. No distractions in your way. Without hurrying up, we just need to spend time loving God. Public prayer is good, but it's no substitute to some private time with God. Not only are you supposed to do it here in the church, but you ought to do it at your house. Matthew says, go into your closet, and folks say, well, I don't have no closet at work. Baby, I can be in the middle of a whole room of people, and I can go in my closet right there. How do you do that, Rev? I tone all of that stuff out, put my mind on Jesus, and I start talking to him. And when I start talking to him, he starts talking to me. So you got to pray. You got to spend some time with God. Then he goes on, he says, intercession. This refers to boldly praying on the behalf of other folk. Jesus is our intercessor. How do you know that? In 1 Timothy 2, if you go down to the 5th verse, he says, there is but one God and one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. He stands in the gap for us as the Father boldly prays for us. In other words, what happens is in this prayer life that we are going through, when we get on our knees, we don't know what to pray for. But what happens is we start praying what we think we ought to pray for. Then the Holy Spirit grabs what we ought to pray for, or what we think we ought to pray for, turns it around to what we need, and then presents it to Jesus. And then Jesus presents it to God. And then God gives the answer to Jesus. And Jesus gives the answer to the Spirit. And the Spirit delivers the answers in our mind. Thank God I got an intercessor. Utterance. It gives utterance that we don't even know ourselves. We ought to carry out the same mission on the behalf of other folk. The main idea of this verse is that we'll make intercession for those who don't know the Lord themselves.
Yes.
I remember the church of old, they would pray, Lord, trouble the hearts of thus and so and this one and that one so they can come to the knowledge. We don't pray that stuff no more. We're too busy worrying about the folk in the church when you ought to be worrying about folk outside the church. We need to stand in the gap for them. Pray for God to convict them and save them by his grace. Well, then he says supplication, prayer, intercession. But then he goes on and he says, after you do all that, you ought to give some thanks. No prayer is complete until you spend some time thanking God. Well, what I got to thank him for? We are thanking for that which he has already done in our lives. Such as our salvation, the blessings that he has given, the answered prayers that he has allowed to come into our lives. We should thank him for the fact that he is hearing our prayer right now. We should thank him for those that we have these prayers but he already got the answer on the way. You see, as we pray, we ought to pray in faith, believing that the thing that we are asking God to do is already done. Don't doubt it. If you want to ask him, and he gonna make a way. Don't doubt that he can't do that stuff. You gotta believe it in your heart that he is going to do it. That is the essence of your faith. That's why Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance. See, a whole bunch of folks talking about the now faith. That those words don't go together. He said, now. He is trying to tell them right now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You pray for it. You might not be able to see it, but know and have faith. God's going to make it. He's able to bring it through for you. Compass of this. Prayer refers to the scope of our praying. Who are we supposed to pray for, Rev? Paul makes it clear in the scripture. Watch. Go down there. What he said, verse 2, right? For kings. But then he says, in verse 1, he says, pray for all men. Paul says he's got to pray for all men. There is no one in the world that should be beyond the prayer of God's people. Paul specifically mentions those in authority as he prays for our family, our friends, and our neighbors. Don't forget the leaders of our communities, the leaders of our states and our towns and our cities. We got to pray for them as well. They need the wisdom of God to be able to carry out the office that they've been elected to. Folk are worried. Hillary Clinton doesn't make it. Then we're going to be in trouble. The other day I said, if we made it through Bush, and we prayed and got on our knees and asked God to help us, and he helped us anyway through that, and then he blessed us with a black president. Guess what? Whatever he does, remember Romans 8:28, he says, and we know that all things work together for the good, but the church needs to be in prayer for God to do something that's going to help us. So many times we said that. We don't want to pray. After the election results come through, then everybody will call for prayer, sir. It's too late then. When Paul wrote these words, watch this, there was a man named Nero who was the emperor in Rome. He was a wicked man. Even had his own mother and brother executed so that he can get the throne. He took Christians and he would dip them in wax and set them afire and use their light to light his dinner table. He was a wicked man. That is a message for the church today. Even when you don't agree with the policies of the people who lead us, we should still pray for them.
Amen.
I firmly believe that God can intervene in the affairs of men. Yeah, he can overrule a wicked leader. Yeah, he can impress the wicked leader to make some godly decisions. We need to pray for those in power, especially right now. We need to pray.
Amen.
There are many serious and far-reaching decisions that must be made by the leaders of our country and our state and other places, our cities and our towns. We let us make supplication and intercession for them to the throne of grace. And watch God move. Well, in verse 2b, he goes on and he says, There is a spiritual reason for this. What's the spiritual reason? He says, it leads to a peaceful life. One of the reasons we are to pray for those in authority is that we might live free from the persecution of government interventions. Thank you, Lord. Y'all know why? Y'all know why this thing with homosexuality passed in Congress? Because we weren't praying. Y'all know why all that stuff was made, that we got to do this and we got to do that? We weren't praying. But then all of a sudden, when we decided we wanted to pray, then guess what? God started moving. But it was after the fact. See, we need to understand that we hold the power of the world. God says, I have given you authority over this world.
Amen. That's right.
I own the world and I own you. And guess what? Whatever you ask for in this world, he said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. See, you've got the power to do it, but we refuse to go on our knees and ask God for it. Regardless of what the world thinks, the church does not want to be governed by America. We just want the freedom to live peaceful lives for the glory of God. Paul indicates that our prayers for those in authority will accomplish the end that we all try to get. Then secondly, he says, it leads to a powerful life. What do you mean? As we are allowed to live out our faith, we are given an opportunity to let our light shine. That's what God's will is for the church. Matthew, flip over there for me. I'm going to take my time. Matthew chapter 5. And down at verse 13 of Matthew 5. Watch what he says. Now, of course, Jesus is talking and he's talking to the church. He says, you are the salt of the earth. In other words, y'all know what salt does, right? Salt gives flavor. So if the church doesn't have any flavor, we got a problem. You are the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost its savor, guess what? It shall be good. Wherein shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. If we lose our savor and our favor for God, he said, guess what? We are nothing. Turn around, he says, you are the light of the world. A city that sits on a hill and cannot be hid. Why this? Neither do men. Light a candle and put it under a bushel, but he puts it on a candlestick that it can give light to all that are in the house. But the church, I think, have taken their lights and started putting them under bushels and only letting them shine when they want them to shine.
All right.
Goes on in 16, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work. And guess what? They ain't gonna tell you nothing about it. He said, but glorify your Father in heaven. When you let your light shine, I don't care if they don't ask you to do nothing. I don't care if they don't give you praise. I don't care if they don't pat you on the back. Your Father will get the glory and he's gonna reward you in the end. Good God Almighty. This is the reason we should pray for our leaders. Our freedom must be protected at all costs. We should diligently seek to guard the liberties that we believe. May we never forget. This is the fourth, right? Tomorrow, y'all gonna celebrate. Barbecues and everything else. And lay out the thing and invite everybody over, and y'all going to celebrate. The fireworks are going to go off. He said, but man, we never forget. To take for granted the right to assemble. Free from governmental influence. The government doesn't come in here and tell us when we can have church, how we can have church, and what we're going to do in the church. May you never forget the millions of Christians who are forced to meet in basements and caves so that they can have public services. Because if they went out in the public, they would be killed in an instant. Yes. But we got the freedom. But look at our benches today. Yes. Freedom to come. But we don't want to come to worship God. Yes. May we never forget the hundreds and thousands of Christians around the world who will die this year simply because they are saved by grace. In America, we are free to worship. Wherever we want to worship, we can lift our hands and worship. We are free to follow the teachings of the Bible. Just as the Jews can follow the Torah and the Muslim can follow the Quran and the Mormons can follow the Book of Mormon, everybody can do what they religiously want to do. We are free to let our light shine for the glory of God. Let us not waste the freedom and hide our lights under the bushel. Terrible events taking place over these last couple of weeks have raised many questions in the hearts of fellow men. Yeah. Everybody wants to know why. The church has the answer to the question. And the answer is Jesus Christ. Yeah. We have the freedom to share the answer with them. May we learn to take advantage of an opportunity that we have been afforded. Paul tells the Ephesians church in Ephesians 5 and 16, he says, redeeming the time. Take care of the time that you are in now because it may not be. He says, what the time that we're living in, because these days are evil days, we must redeem the time now. Yes. I'm almost done. Finally, he says, there's a spiritual requirement. There's a spiritual reason. And finally, he says, there's a spiritual result. When we read, watch 3 and 4, he says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the unto the knowledge of the truth. When we do our job, there's a result. The result that is worth the price of dignity and worth the effort that we give for. What's the result, Pastor? In verse 3, he says, the Savior is exalted. Yeah. Paul's statement is clear. A life that is lived for God is a life that honors God. Yeah. And when prayer is given in its proper place, and when men are prayed for, and when peace reigns, and we believe that living our lives point people to God, God is exalted. Yes. In other words, when I pray, when I show up on Sunday morning, when I live that same life that I live on Sunday morning, when I live it at my house, when I live it on my job, people will see the Christ in me, and Christ will be exalted, and folk are going to be saved. Yes. Here is the simple fact. Life lives for God. Honor Him. And He honor lives that honor Him.
Amen.
God is well pleased with those who pray and who live for His glory.
Amen.
Then finally, he says, the sinner will be exalted. When we live the lives that we should be living, we become partners with God in salvation of lost sinners. God desires to save all men.
Amen.
How do you know that? 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long suffering toward us, not willing that we should perish, that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. In other words, the Lord said, he's not slack in coming back. God has promised he's coming back. He said, but I'm not slack in coming back. What I'm trying to do is allow y'all to get yourself together before I get there. He said, because I don't want nobody to perish. Can't do anything until the word gets across the entire world. He says, and then once everybody has word, the word of God, I'm coming back.
Yes.
God, after all. That's why he sent Jesus to the world.
Yes.
Romans 5:8, he says, but God demonstrated his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, he died for us.
Yes.
As we pray for them, carry the burdens for them, live godly lives before them, and reach out to them in the message of the cross, we are rest assured that God will do his part if the church does their part.
Yes.
God has already taken his initiative. He sent his son God, Jesus Christ, to provide the means of salvation that says whosoever will, let him come. He sent his Holy Spirit to bring conviction to the hearts of men in John 16:7-11. He has given us the light to all men to become into the world. In John 1:9, he says that which was the true light, which giveth light to every man who comes into the world. He wants them to come. And he has taken the necessary steps to bring men to himself.
Amen.
Therefore, church. Therefore, Bright Morning Star Baptist Church.
Yes.
Let us not let the Lord down and do what he called us to do. We need to pray. We need to walk with God, and we need to share God's message. And God will honor them as souls will be saved.
Yes.
Yes.
These are terrible times.
Yes.
There are forces arrayed in our day that are powerful and fearful. And guess what? We haven't seen the worst of what's getting ready to happen. In fact, and that's why I said, you can't say Donald Trump might not win. That's why we need to be praying now. In fact, our nation stands in the morning of the brink of a presidential election. Terrorism messed up. Economy is on the down slope because of the split in the UK. Thousands of folk are dead. Thousands more are likely to die. And it's sad to say that those thousands of young boys that are being shot up on our streets and doing all kind of stuff on the street are probably on their way to hell. And the church is sitting in this air-conditioned building with their lights on, in their fine cars, and letting them die on the street. Most of the thousands who are likely to die, if things don't get better, will also be on their way to hell if the church doesn't get about its business. If there ever was a time that the church needs to be about real spiritual business for the Lord, the time is right now. There's much that the church can do, but nothing is more important. You can have workshops, you can have fellowships, you can do all this stuff, you can call revivals, you can do all that stuff. But until you get on your knees, praying at God, some things are not going to happen. How do you know that? I remember when Peter was in jail for doing what was good. Peter was in jail, watch this, locked between two guards. Chains on him in the inner part of the jail. But guess what? The church was on the other side of town praying for Peter. They were praying for him. Watch what God does. God takes the shackles off of him between the two men. Lead him out while the men are still sleeping. I told you he was in the inner jail, so he had to go through several doors to get to the outer door. He walked through all of that and ain't nobody see him. The angel led him where he wanted him to go, and then all of a sudden he got to the front door, but it was locked. He said, an angel opened up the door. Baby, God will open doors that no man can do, and God will close doors that no man can open. When you pray, took him out of the jail, brought him down the street, and then told him, go about your business now. That's what God will do when the church is in prayer. God wants to know today, from each individual person in this church today, from the church, look at yourself. He wants to know, what are you going to do about it now? You heard the word? Are you going to take time and pray for me and pray for sinners and pray for the church and pray for leaders? Are you going to do that? Or are you going to sit back and watch folk go to hell knowing that you had a chance to save them? What are you going to do? It's time for the church to get about its business. God is calling us to prayer time. Somewhere to say, it's praying time. It's praying time, and we got to get back to giving time to God in prayer, fellowship and worship, and we're going to watch God move and watch how our souls are beginning to be saved. God bless you. Today there might be one.